Network.
Hey, Rowdies fans, it's Charlie Dennis.
This is Forrest Lasso.
You're listening to the Unused Substitutes.
The Unused Substitutes.
And you're listening to the Unused Substitutes.
Get off the bench!
Hey there, little Red Riding Hood, I...
Is there one final touch to be had? Aaron Guillen. Lasso. Elevating.
Yeah.
Goussana. Score.
Hear me cry, see me run, see me jump. Try to fight, but I emerge with the prize in hand. You better watch out, it's gonna take more than what you've got. All eyes are on the end. The silence is deafening. You're so helpless against this.
Hello, Rowdies family, and welcome back to the Unused Substitute Soccer Show, where we spread the green and gold gospel about the Tampa Bay Rowdies, because otherwise we don't know what to do with our hands. It's been a little while since we've done this. I'm not even sure if we know our names at this point. I believe my name is Matthew Cox. I'm joined by my co-host. It says on the screen that his name is Ben Wilcox. And for the next 45 minutes or so, we're going to talk about the most recent results, news. And I just remembered, I didn't put this in the notes. We always like try to preview the next game. And you know what? We're going to wing that one. We're going to wing this whole thing. It has been a while. It's been a while since we've posted an episode. I think we've recorded like one or two or tried to that never got posted because of audio and technical issues. So
that's on me.
I think we have this fixed for now. I did press record. Things are going. Okay, cool. Ben, how have you been?
I mean, I've been great, man. I mean, there is no off season for IT. That's all I got to say. You're just saying
you don't want to go back and talk about the whole off season since we haven't done a show in forever. That's what you mean.
I feel like off season didn't happen because I literally blinked and oh my goodness, we had a game, which I was there for, which I had a blast. But it was a good break, man. I traveled out of state. I traveled all over Florida. You know, life is good, man. I no complaints, man. How the heck have you been?
Well, that's a loaded question. Let's see. I'll put it this way. Part of a tree did not fall on my house this week. So this week was an improvement over the week before.
That sounds like me.
And the week before that, long-running legal situations have been resolved. I believe the word is amicably that I'm supposed to use. You were at the game. I was not. It's been a heck of a week. I was looking forward to it. It was like kicking off my birthday weekend because Monday was my birthday. I'm like, here we go. And literally, like, daughter and I were coming. We're all set, basically all set to go. And it was just one of those, like, you just get that feeling and you're like, you know what? Maybe I should check out, make sure the ratings are good for the now home broadcast on WTOG. And it was on the Galazzo, CBS Sports Galazzo network too. So wanted to make sure that those numbers were getting pumped up. I saw we had a good crowd predicted for the game. So I said, hasn't been a season yet where I've made every home game. Already, let's go ahead and just knock this, get it out of the way, and not get my hopes up for this year. So I stayed home, watched the broadcast. Drew and Ryan did a great job. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Dan, our partner in crime at a distant location, was watching, I believe, the CBS one. I watched the WTOG, and I liked it. It's not often you get to watch home games. I'm excited now to have like the ability to go back and record home games and kind of watch them and scan them later. So I'm good.
That's good, man. Yeah. On top of that, I got a new computer, so those technical issues are a thing of the past. Yeah. Woo.
Oh man, I'm trying to play like a little sound effect here, and it's not not doing anything.
Well, at least it wasn't a Mayan this time. That's all I got to say.
Don't stop. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, if I put it on live for you, because maybe it was playing on review. I don't know. We'll find out when we listen back to the audio here. All right. So let's get into it. Rowdy's opened up the 2024 season by hosting not last year's defending champion, but the champion from the year before, the San Antonio Football Club. Rowdy's jumped out to a 2-0 lead. Cal Jennings with the early goal. I love early goals. In the fourth minute, gets his goal. Rowdy's double the lead in the 72nd minute through Danny Ortega from an assist from Nyongabire.
Gosh,
I gotta practice a lot of these. And I'll tell you, we were talking in like a little pre-show chat. I just had a feeling. It was something about the energy, something about the whole situation, something about, hey, it's the first game of the season. It's a new coach. Everyone's still kind of working out the chemistry. I was still a little nervous. At 1-0 at halftime, I said, we've got to get another goal. First of all, I just felt like they should have gotten another goal in that first half, the way they attacked and came out attacking in the beginning of the second half, too. Gets that goal. But I just had a weird feeling. San Antonio scores their first in the 83rd and then get the equalizer in stoppage time. And the game finishes a 2-2 draw in front of an announced crowd of 7,500 at Al Lang. Oh. I mean,
look.
If you tell me the first game of the season, if you tell me new coach, a whole bunch of new players, you tell me it's going to finish as a draw, I can't complain about it. But if you tell me we're up 2-0 after the 72nd minute, you can't cough that up. You just can't. At any point in the season, you can't cough that game up. I mean, look, San Antonio's a good team. This is not like, you know, we're playing like a, I would say Loudoun United, but they're top of the table in the East right now. So maybe we can't say that about them this year. I think in the end, we will be able to. But you can't give that lead up.
No, I mean, you can, but I think if I start from the beginning and I look at how we start off there and you look at that goal by Cal Jennings, I mean, they looked very organized and very in tune with the new system. And I think there's a lot of positives that you take, even from only one goal in that first half. I mean, they were communicating well. I mean, you could hear them all over the field. You hear the guys checking each other. And I mean, it just... a lot of things felt really good. And for having a lot of new faces out there, I mean, this is a new team. Like, I was talking to Dan about this, or he had mentioned it, and I kind of commented too. It's just like, this team feels different, right? Like, I feel like we've had such a similar, yeah, or, you know, such a same feeling for the last 5 years, you know, with Neil and those core players, that this team just feels different. And that's not good, bad, negative, whatever. It's just, it feels different. And, one of the things I enjoyed was that, I mean, right away, you can feel there was an identity. So first things first, I like the feel of this team. I like, even with the injuries, the early injuries in the season, I like the options we have coming off the bench. I mean, I like the way that the team moves the ball. We were very, very fluid moving back and forth across the field. I think Chrysostomo and Hilton work very well together, which I'm really excited about those two. Considering that I think it would have been Doherty that would have naturally been in that position, but he's obviously stepped back to defense with Antley going off to DC, which is great for Connor. Yeah, I mean, it was just, I was really happy with the way we played. I mean, we were dangerous. We were counter-pressing very well. We were moving well, organized as a unit. We were shutting them down consistently, either in the middle or long ball. They were really having a hard time finding their way through. It really wasn't until late in that second half when San Antonio made a change to, I think it was like two or three in the middle of the field on their counter press, and really clogged up all of the lanes that we were just finding all of our opportunities from for the better half of, you know, 2/3, you know, 3/4 of that game. And when they did that, they caused problems. And then of course we made substitutions, and then you've got new guys coming in. I think giving up that lead sucks. Yes. But I think what, if you look at how the goals came about, there's some miscoverage that I think happens when you have new players playing together. There was some breakdown of communication. There were some tired legs on the field. I mean, it just like Forrest Lasso made that last ditch save. It was like in the 85th or 87th minute, something like that. I mean, there's just some things that happened that I don't think you normally see. I mean, Jordan Farr getting off the first goal, which by the way was a freaking rocket of a shot, but gave it near post, which I don't think he's going to normally do, but it just, things happen, you know?
So yeah, and if you go back, I watched, they showed the replay of the, I believe it's the second goal, where like Farr, like he can't even get a move on it because it's going to the corner, like far post. And Aaron Guillen, I believe, is over there almost like
right trying, there.
It seemed like he was streaming, but like Guillen was going to try and get his body in front of it and it went around his side. So,
yeah.
You know, if that area is open, maybe Farr can make a difference. I don't know. It seemed like maybe it was a little bit out of range, but it's hard to tell without having watched him play too much. So that means, so there's something good to talk about first is let's go the lineup, the formation. You had Jordan Farr in goal. Your back line was Doherty, Lasso, and Aaron Guillen. You had midfield of Niyongabire, Crisostomo, Hilton, and Blake Bodily. And then you've got Ortega, Rivera, and Jennings kind of leading the attack. I just want to put out there, the Rowdies asked on Facebook who scores the first goal of the season. I said Lasso from a header. I almost said Cal Jennings. I felt that was too easy. I'm going to pick maybe a slightly niche one, and it ends up being Cal Jennings with the header off a corner kick from Blake Bodley. One of the things I told you, and you know, I know we would see this sometimes under Neil Collins with a kind of a back three, but it was a back three that would transition to a back four in defense sometimes, and then in offense you'd have one of the defenders go up into more of an attacking role. I don't love a back three, especially when you get late in the game and you're trying to hold on to a lead. But as usual, there were some injury considerations to be made. The Rowdies had no other defenders available in this match. That's why I think you said it too, Jordan Doherty's back there for some of the reasons. So the names listed as being out, Nick Moon, midfielder, Freddie Kleeman, defender, Zach Herivo, Charlie Dennis. They don't mention Zane Bubb on there, but I thought I saw somewhere where he was injured as well. He wasn't on the bench. I mean, we had one of the academy kids on the bench. You had Phil Breno on the bench, and then you had a couple other players. But what tells you that the injuries were definitely something that factored into this, Robbie Nielsen only made two substitutes.
Yep.
Fernandez comes on, and the recent signee, the former Orlando City midfielder Joey Desart, comes on as well too to try and shore up the midfield for the last little bit of the game. The options weren't there, and they just announced today we're going to be down another player, not due to injury, but Niyongabire has been called up for Burundi's friendlies. They're playing on Friday and on Monday. We'll talk a little bit more about that later, but he will miss this weekend's game when they go off to North Carolina FC. But yeah, overall, the overall kind of taste of the game from me watching it, the look, I, you know, saw a lot of familiar looking stuff, you know, the style of play, the chemistry. And we said there's a lot of new players, but you still have Jordan Doherty. You still have Forrest Lasso, Aaron Guillen. You've got Lewis Hilton. Cal Jennings, bit, you know, not as veteran with this team as some of the others, but Leo Fernandez is there. You have a solid veteran core,
yep.
That is able to that has played together, that has this kind of chemistry already. I think we're going to be good. It's, you know, it's, would have loved to have gotten the 3 points and been on top of the table as opposed to 1 point and being just outside the playoff spot. But luckily, the playoffs don't start today.
Exactly.
So we're going to be fine.
Yeah, I mean, we've got plenty of time to figure this out.
Plenty to go forward. And I didn't see anything where I was like, oh, this is awful. I hate this.
Right.
So I like the way we looked. And, you know, it seems to be this way in American football. And I think you see it a lot, too, in soccer, or at least the American version of soccer.
Mm-hmm.
Early on in the season, the attack, a team's attack is usually pretty well put together.
Yep.
And the defense takes a little while to find their footing. That being said, we've got 11 midfielders, so maybe we're just going to try and score more than we let in all the time, which, hey, that's how you get 7,500 people in the stadium on a regular basis.
Exactly. Look, people love goals, right?
Hey, we're just going to drag in all the other American sports and just say chicks love the long ball here. Or the glancing header from a corner. But no, it was fine. It was fine for what it was. You hate to give up the 2-0 lead. And, you know, Blake Bodley says it in the press conference. We need to be smarter. It's not acceptable. We'll have to learn to manage the game together better, come together more as a team at the end, even if we're tired, because, you know, giving up two goals, especially two goals in less than 10 minutes like that.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of cleaning up to do, but I think you've got the players in place to do it. And, you know, we've seen this in the past. It'll come together. I think it'll be fine.
Yeah.
So you were there. You were present. Did you have any, how was the atmosphere? How were, there were some changes. The team store has been added back to the front of it. Is it in the old team store area, or is it another area that's in the front?
It is. And I'm glad you asked, actually. Yeah. So there's a few things going on. So you've got this new midfield tent now, which is out in the midfield side for sections 4 and 5. They've got their own little personalized tent out there, private bar, TV area. Right next to the team store that was back there in the tent. That's a cool little spot that I think is going to be really popular for people that purchase those tickets. The corner kick areas are as they were, but I think they've spruced them up a little bit with some added things. The Bayshore side is, I think they're trying to do more over on the Bayshore side. I think they really want to add some extra events over there, which is good. It's a fun area to host a lot of people. It's a good viewpoint. And I think it's a massively underutilized area, so I like that. The new team store is back out front in was originally team store, turned a ticket office back to team store, so it's like life is a perfect circle. Right. But it's nice. You know, I got to be honest, I was in there Thursday, Friday, as they were kind of setting things back up, and it felt like home again. You know, I reminded the days of, you know, like Nancy being back in there and Trace and some of those guys just hanging out, JD, and just getting to see those guys and getting sales back during the day. I think it's going to be nice for people that want to come up and learn. I mean, they're going to be a great, whoever's working that store, I forget her name. I'll remember for the next show. She's really nice. But she'll be working most of those hours. She's going to be the front face for the Rowdies now. I mean, as far as, you know, getting people with tickets, getting people merchandise, telling people about upcoming events. I mean, all kinds of stuff. I mean, and the store now is a little more, has a little more variation than it used to. Plus, look, Bay Republic has done a better job of putting out better products. I mean, I think we all have to agree, is like as far as like Rowdy's gear, it feels, for a long time, it was very, you have a green shirt, a yellow shirt, black hat with white. I mean, it's like very basic, right?
Right.
And I feel like we have a lot of variation now with a lot of different personality. Like, you can really kind of put your own spin on a lot of stuff. I mean, a lot of the hats and shirts. I mean, I like the vibe of the store. I think it's starting to kind of find itself. I think as they have kind of taken on that responsibility of being a retailer, I think they've done a really good job of building the brand a little bit in that way, too. I think there's some other areas we can improve, but I think as a whole, the atmosphere was fun, man. I mean, the parking lot was buzzing. You know, I mean, I was there early, so I got in like 1:30. So the market was closing down. You could kind of feel as cars start pulling to the parking lot. It starts kind of filling up. The buzz is kind of building. And it was great. I saw the Sarasota guys out there as casuals were hanging out. I mean, it felt nice to have fans back again. You know, we've been doing a ton of work in the off season. The Rowdy's front office and the operations guys there have done so much work in the off season, really getting that stadium ready. There's a bunch of new rooms down below now for like fan host and ball boys and a coach's room and like all kinds of cool stuff. So like the stadium feels fresh. It feels new, you know? So it's a lot of fun, man. It definitely felt good to be back. It felt good to see a lot of familiar faces. It would have been great to have seen people walk out with a win. But I think all in all, I still feel like the vibe was still pretty good, all things considered. I mean, yes, it sucks to lose like that. That last feeling you've got is like, oh crap, we tied this game. But I think there's a lot to build off. Oh, and I didn't even think about this. The new Colony Grill area over there in midfield. Fantastic, right? People. If you have not tried it, go get yourself some food over there. It is fantastic. It is so good. I'm a big fan.
They were doing the watch party last year. I was going to try and make it up there for that and didn't, but yeah, I keep hearing good stuff about it. So did you see the little clip they put out today of the upgraded locker room?
I did. I may or may not have known about that previously, but yes, I did. It was really cool.
They turned it. It's like if a locker room and a gaming desk had a baby, That's what it kind of looks like with all the LED lights and everything going on there. It looked really cool. So I'm pretty impressed by that. Like that it's good to see, you know, I like obviously the stuff that means the most to us is like the fan facing stuff, like the team store sure. coming back, the you know, concessions and that kind of stuff. But to, you know, they're still investing in things that are beneficial and you know, centered around the players is always nice to see from ownership as well too. Going back to your comments on merchandising, I only have one complaint, and it's not even related to them. I'm going to blame this on Puma. The new jerseys.
Okay.
I love it. I when they posted it and they said, hey, you know, half off if you order them today only. I had bought one of the ones they did last year when Puma was in the first year, and we had that little template jersey they did.
Yep.
And I quickly realized that Puma stuff seems like it runs a little bit small. So when I ordered the jersey this year, let me size up a little bit. The jerseys this year are definitely way more true to form, because I ordered one that was a little bit bigger than what I normally wear, and it's like a nightmare. And I'm like, okay, I'm gonna, you know, I could just eat a bunch of the Colony Grill pizza and then it won't matter because then it'll fit into it. Or I can just bite the bullet and go get a slightly smaller sized one like what I normally wear. But, you know, I loved it. I will say, you know, seeing it on TV, especially the hoop sleeves back there on the field was great. I don't love, and maybe I just didn't pay attention to this as much at first, I don't really love the shorts.
Ah, you know what? I didn't really pay attention to them, if I'm being completely honest. Kind of like so kind of taken back by the jersey
on the back of the legs or something. And now part of it may have been because I noticed it. They did like a full body shot of Cal Jennings at one point. And I don't know what he does. But Cal Jennings wears like my size shorts during a game. Yeah,
it's like weird. Basketball shorts.
Yeah. So maybe that's just part of it or something. I don't know. It definitely reminds me of like the 90s.
Yeah, it looks like you could fit three Cal Jennings in his outfit, like at all times.
I guess it's just
to each their own, right?
And I love Cal, but my explanation for it is he's got a lot of goals in those shorts.
Yes, you know, look. Well, you were saying about how he's not necessarily the veteran of this team, but that guy solidify himself as one of us last season for sure. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. I mean, he's earned his place there. I think he's a fun guy to watch. I mean, he's just so dangerous, and he looks
wear what he wants as long as he's scoring 20 points.
Exactly. I don't, dude, for real. You could wear a 4XL, you know, just around your head and run around, and I'm good, man. I'm good. Just put the ball in the net. That's all I want.
So any other kind of standout moments, good, bad, ugly? I mean, I think we're going to both say ugly's giving up the goals late. Bad, I mean, it's first game. Maybe even just call that bad because it's first game of the season.
I don't even want to give a bad.
Good.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to give anything bad because, again, look, the team's finally back.
Right.
You and I kind of talked quite a bit over the offseason. Like, and I mean, for all discussions we had, like, it just. All of it, only thing that mattered was just getting back out there and seeing the team again. And like for you, seeing them on TV, which I want to hear more about your thoughts on the broadcast. But just seeing the team again, seeing the guys back in the team, seeing fans back in there. Like, I mean, I know that I have a little bit different feel because I'm there, you know, during the week when nobody's there. You know, I mean, the team doesn't even train there anymore. So they're off at Waters. So it's when you go there, it's just the building, the op staff, which, by the way, if you see any of those op staff people, I'm telling you right now, go pat them on the back and tell them thank you. They work their butts off. There are so many things that happened that you will never see, and that is a testament to them doing a great job. They bust their butts this offseason to get that stadium where it is right now. They are an awesome group. And I thought everything came together really nice, man. I just, as a whole, I would say there was no great, there was no ugly, just good. Is I'm glad the team's back. I'm glad to see him on the field. I saw a lot of positive signs of a team that has gelled early. You pointed out to the fact that offense typically clicks first. Defense usually comes up later. Like I talked to my friend, Bobby Boswell, played for DC and Houston and, DC again. But even he had said, I remember one offseason he and I were talking, he's like, yeah, defense is always the last thing to come. You know, it's just, it is. And, you know, I mean, and I don't even think the defense was bad per se. I think they were just light. I to your point, I mean,
it just feels like you guys gave up two goals late. That's all.
Exactly. Right. And like, and to your point, like, I mean, I am a fan of the three back. I'm okay with it whenever your midfield plays the way it did, which I thought they played pretty well. But yeah. A credit to San Antonio for making a tactical change that worked. It did. And we didn't adjust. And a team that is fully gelled front to back finds a way through that. And, you know, this is a new team figuring out. I mean, yes, the back three are gelled, but look, you still got, you know, three of the four midfielders were all brand new players. You know, obviously minus Leo coming in late, but they're all learning how to cover each other. It's going to come, guys. It's going to happen. And
I think something else you have to consider, and once again, this maybe you figured out by the way we just kind of dance around all this stuff. We are not here to like break down specific tactics and, certain substitutions. That is not a strong point, and we are not going to pretend that.
What are you saying?
Yeah. In a sense, all the players are new because you have a brand new to this league, to this country, head coach.
Yep.
And he's seen them in practice, and he's seen them in preseason games, and he's seen them in closed-door friendlies. But until you get to your regular week-to-week competition, yep, he doesn't necessarily know who he can trust in what positions. He's got to build that trust. Even though you've got veterans who have done it in this league, you've got two-time Defender of the Year Forrest Lasso, you've got former MVP Leo Fernandez, you've got guys who have have won trophies with this team in recent years. But all that doesn't matter when you have a brand new coach who has to figure out, you know, what's the, and then who's he going up against in his first game? You've got Alan Marcina, who has been around this division, this level of soccer in the U.S. for years in USL, in NASL. He's been at lower levels, with, I think, in League One back at Des Moines. It's like, this is a guy who knows this level, knows these players, knows the opposition players better than Robbie Nielsen ever could at this point.
Yep.
You can only get so much from film. You can only get so much from talking to, you know, former teammates or you know, guys you've played up against. Some of this stuff you just have to learn by doing. And this is a good experience for him. Yep. So let's go. I want to go into talk about the stats here real quick just for a second, because, again, we are not tactics people. Also, I want to try and see if I can make this little transition sound thing work. Okay, there we go. All right, stats. Rowdies with 14 shots to 7. 7 shots on target to 4 for San Antonio. So, again, like we said, offense definitely a little bit more advanced, although, you know, half your shots on target, but that's early on. Possession,
I like that.
40% for Rowdy, 60% to San Antonio. We got used to a lot last year, it feels like, of conceding possession and trying to win on the press and hit on the counter and stuff like that. Passes, it feels like, I haven't gone back to compare them. Passing feels like it was a little bit lower compared to recent years, 254 to 398 for San Antonio, 62% accuracy. Something else happened in the first game of the year, and it's first game for the referees too. 15 fouls for the Rowdies, 16 fouls for San Antonio, both sides with 4 yellow cards, which honestly, I got to say, I'm surprised. It felt like it was more yellow cards than that by the time that game was over. Some of them I'm not so sure of, but whatever. No red cards, 3 offsides for both sides, 11 corners for the Rowdies. That's where you see the veteran experience and you know, we talk about some of these new players. Some of them are new to Tampa Bay, but they've been around USL. They've been around second division soccer. They've got the kind of 11 corners to 3 for San Antonio. And I think those 3 all came kind of late in the match, too, if I remember correctly. So I think I remember hearing, and you go back to something else you said, hearing about the broadcast. Obviously, the ideal way to watch a Rowdies game is in the stands at Al Lang Stadium on match day. But if you can't, to be able to sit at home and listen to Ryan and Drew Felios give their perspective on it, it's fantastic. The only misstep I'm going to say they did, and I don't know if they were using their feed for the national feed, for the Galazzo feed, or if they had different commentators for that. The only misstep I'm going to say that Ryan and Drew made was that they intentionally name-dropped Stephen Cundiff on air. Can't give
That's
him that level of attention.
Nope.
No, I don't know if he even knows it yet because
oh gosh, we always said it now.
but you can't go doing that.
You've spoken into existence. It's going to happen.
The mobs sound great. The casual sounded great. They you know, mentioned both of them as well too. The camera shots of the fans in the stands and the various people on the Capo stand was fantastic. I loved it. Got off to a little bit of a, like when you first tuned in, it was kind of a, hey, the game is starting soon. And I'm like, 7:33. And then a little sound check. But, you know, it's the first time they're just a first game for everybody. I thought everything overall was good. And I look forward to watching replays of many more home games in the future since I will have witnessed it firsthand in the stand at Owl Lane.
So, and that was the local broadcast you said that you watched, correct?
Yeah, I watched the WTOG one.
Nice. I mean, I popped it on in the our office for a little bit because I needed to come inside to grab some stuff. And it seemed like it was pretty good. I mean, it was pretty – I mean, I think we're kind of spoiled, you know, with Drew and Ryan. I think those guys do a really good job, I mean, of really kind of explaining not just building a picture, but just kind of really giving you a feel for the energy in the stadium too.
Right.
I saw Ryan beforehand. I was giving him a little crap about coming to the stadium. I was like, check that guy twice. You know, as he's coming in security, you know, I like to always give him time.
You did notice that maybe, I don't know if he had his uniform on for the night. Ryan at first was not adhering to the green out rules while Drew Felios looked like he had just won the Masters Championship, was in a green blazer, but he did happen to bring, and it did mention, first off, I'm going to say this is a little bit of a shocker. It was Ryan's birthday over the weekend, apparently, as well, too. Drew gave him a jacket for his birthday, green jacket, so they were matching at the end.
Awesome.
I want you, putting you on the spot here, guess how old Ryan is.
Ooh. Okay, just quick off the cuff, I'm going to go with 46.
So you think he's younger than me?
Yes.
50.
Just no.
I know, right? Like, that's literally what I said. At first, I thought they were doing, like, the joking thing where you make fun of your friends for being old and say they're a lot older, like Dan does with me. 50. The guy looks amazing.
He does. Yes. I love listening to – I mean, even when he's not on broadcast, if you get a chance to talk with him, he's such a great guy.
He's awesome.
He's got that Muddy Cleats podcast thing that he does. I don't know if he's still doing it or not, but – he's a good follow. He's a good guy. What I mean, and same to Drew. I haven't had a chance to interact with Drew as much, but Ryan's just such a class guy, man. Such a wonderful guy to talk to about all things sports, really.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Any other? And I'm not just saying that because you wish me happy birthday. I'm slightly biased, but it's okay. Any other thoughts or comments on the stats?
Stat wise, no. I mean, I'm a little surprised by the possession. I feel like. And I guess where I differ in last year, I feel like we were more of a possession-based team in the past. At least I feel like we were. Maybe we weren't. I'll have to go back and look. But I was a little surprised we gave up possession as much as we did. I felt like we were more dangerous, but maybe that's just the different style that we're playing this year. I don't know. I mean, and I got to be honest. This game, I was so
before we get a really good feeling for that.
I was just honestly, this game we had a lot going on staff wise. We were super busy. I missed the first goal. I was running up to broadcast to go fix something. I mean, that's where I was. So I mean, I was all over the place. I had to go back and watch the game a second time, and it took me like 2 days to do it because I have so much happening right now. So I mean, it just, I don't know. All in all, it was good, man. A question I was going to kind of throw at you, kind of off the cuff here. Of the new signings for this year, was there any one of the players that kind of stood out to you? Was there any moment that kind of, even just through obviously the broadcast, or anything that kind of stood out for you as a guy that maybe really showed well in his first game?
I thought several. I mean, if I have to pick one standout, and they were high on him on the broadcast as well too, was Nyonga Bire. His energy, his footwork, his work on the ball. I mean, that what he did to set up that 72nd minute goal with Ortega was fantastic. But just and you can tell from the way the team talks about him, at least, you know, even online, is this is a guy that they're expecting kind of big things from. I thought he was great. I thought Bodley played pretty well too. Ortega obviously gets a goal in his first game, so that's a good sign. Jordan Farr had some good stops when called on. The two that got in, I don't know that you can put the blame at his feet either way on those. But yeah, overall, if I pick one guy out there, I'm going to say Niangabire.
Yeah, I think that's a great choice. I would have to agree with you. He was, I think his ability to hold the man off with the ball at his feet, I think to move up and down the field, I think he was really kind of in sync with Arteaga and Jennings and Crisostomo. He looked very dangerous with the ball at his feet, and it looked very comfortable, which I was very happy with. I thought Rivera had himself a very good game as well. I agreed on Bodley. He got up and down the field very well. I think he covered well defensively. He put in some good crosses. I mean, obviously that first goal was off his corner kick. I mean, Crisostomo and Hilton, that's one that I'm really looking forward to. That combination with those two in the middle, because I really feel like this team is going to move up and down the field based on how well those two work together. And I don't think Crisostomo stood out as much broadcast-wise, but I tried to just watch him and Hilton work together for about 10 minutes or so. And those guys really have a good chemistry. You can tell those guys talk a lot,
right?
And really have been moving, really working with each other to try and build that connection. I think those two guys are going to be very good together. So, yeah, man, I'm with you. I thought Pacifique was absolutely fantastic, though.
Yeah, I'm the stereotypical guy who is like, oh, guy scored a goal, give him man of the match. But if I had to pick a man of the match for Tampa Bay here, I'm going with Wazzie. Which yeah. I see as a name that they refer to him on Twitter, so I'm going to use that and pretend like I knew that all along. One other thing I was going to mention, you were talking about the new team store.
Yes.
Let's make sure we throw out there. Open Tuesdays through Saturdays, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., and then match days, it reopens at 6:30 to ticket-holding fans. So maybe are they, when it's like the 6:30 time for the fans can go in, are they still going in through that front entrance by the box office, or is there like another entrance inside the stadium and that's how they limit it to just ticket holding fans?
That's a wonderful question that I don't have an answer for. You can't go in through the Steam store. I know that much. So I would imagine you have to go in through that entrance as well. Okay. But I'll have to find out. It's new and
they were kind of specific about ticket holding fans only. So I assumed it was some kind of.
Yeah, I don't know. You know what? I will ask this week. I will find out because I'm kind of curious myself.
I know there are doors that do that because I've been under there and had to go back that way when I won the signed jersey that was framed. They brought me through the stadium into from the concourse back into there. So I know there's a way to do it. I don't know if that's how they had it set up now or not.
No. That's strictly just for employees only to the back way. That's it. Okay.
Also, watch party this weekend. The Rowdies are having their watch party at Colony Grill. Kickoff at 7 p.m. So we get some pizza and beer. Rowdies versus North Carolina FC. Dress in your Rowdies gear to receive discounts and prizes. I'm not sure. I don't know if the mob has a spot they're setting up for a watch party. And I'm not sure what's going to be happening down here in Sarasota because the Shamrock is having some equipment replaced. Condenser, evaporator, freezer kind of stuff. They're hoping to be open by Saturday, but nothing's set in stone just yet. So I may be watching from home. We'll see. I'm not sure yet.
Yeah, I'm going to try and get up to Colony Grill. They've been promoting it up at work, reminding all the staff that that the game's there. This is my last weekend of only having to work one team's games until baseball season kicks off. Yeah, because our next home game is the 30th, and that is right during the middle of our homestand because we start on the 28th, I think, is our first home game, our opening day for baseball. So, my schedule is about to get a little crazy, but that's a good thing. I mean, I like it. It's one of the reasons I work in sports. I mean, I love the shenanigans of working both for both teams. I love being a part of the Rowdies and the Rays. I mean, it's I kind of get the best of both worlds in that regard. So, yeah. I'm going to try and get up there. I mean, Colony Grill is a great spot. If you haven't been up there before, go check it out. It's a good spot, good food, good drinks, good atmosphere. It's a good place to hang out for sure.
See, I every time I'm like, yeah, I'll go up there for one of the games and watch up there. But then I keep thinking, yeah, there's discounts on pizza and beer. And then I still drive back to Sarasota afterwards. Do a lot better with the beer if I'm just drinking it at home.
Yeah, I some people are great about traveling. Look, I am that classic St. Pete guy. I don't I mean, everything's 5 minutes away from me. I don't want to go anywhere, and I can ride my bike to Colony Grill. I rode my bike to the game, for Christ's sake. I mean, it's like, well, I didn't even drive my car. I was like, that's not happening. That's, you know, I'm going to stick close to home. I'm spoiled where I live. I'm literally 5 minutes from the park. It's
been, you know, it's maybe it,
first world problems, you know,
connection here. Well, I'll just
so. But yeah, so I mean, look, all in all, this game, like, I was really happy with the way things turned out. I mean, yeah, a win would have been great, but, you know, what are you going to do? I mean,
says I'm connected.
It is what it is. So, you know, we move on, we grow, we keep moving. It'll be curious to see how the team responds. You know,
go ahead and run through.
See how the team responds.
Oh, there you go. We lost connection there for about a minute or so.
I was going to say you froze up on me too.
Yeah, I didn't know if it was my end or your end, but
no idea. But I kept talking, so maybe we both talked right through that whole thing. And it's like, what's going on? Why can't you hear me?
I'm like, okay, well, I'm just going to go talk about the standing. And it seems silly to talk about standings right now because you've got two games for some teams, one game for another, and it's hard to tell.
We're in the upside down. Loudon's leading with 5 goals. Nope, I don't even want to think about it. All right, and granted, that was against Las Vegas, but I don't care.
Loudon currently on top, having played 2 matches, 1 win, 1 draw, 4 points, 5 goals scored, 3 conceded for a goal difference of 2, best goal difference in the Eastern Conference right now. Detroit City in second, they played 1 game and won it, 3 points. Miami, Birmingham, Hartford, Louisville, Indy, I've all played some combination of 2 games, 1 or 2 games, and each has 3 points. Charleston Battery, 8th place right now, played 2 games, drawn 2 games, 2 points.
Good, stay in the bottom, Charleston.
North Carolina FC is in 9th. They've played 2 games. They have 1 point. And then Rowdies in 10th, run game, 1 point. Rhode Island, 1 game, 1 point. And then at the bottom is Pittsburgh Riverhounds, having played 2 games, lost them both. Have not scored a goal yet this season, which is
good. I think this is them and Charleston deserve nothing nice. Obligatory. I don't like Charleston. Boo Charleston.
Last up, some team news. We talked about Wazi going off to friendlies with Burundi.
Hold on, real quick before you go off on this. We talked about this in the pre-show. Jake, my man, I know that you did this on purpose. And I've seen multiple people on Twitter complain about this too. You cannot tweet that out the way that you did, because for all of us in our notifications, we're thinking, oh, great, he had a great game. We just hold him off to Burnley or something. Don't do that time. Like, what in the world, man? Like, come on, dude. Like, everyone frantically is checking Twitter. Like, oh my, okay, no, he just went off to go play his team. Good for him. But can we find a better way to go about doing that, please? Because that was not cool. In fact, when I see you in the office tomorrow, I'm going to call you out.
You have half expected to see the Rowdies have reached an agreement with Barnsley FC one for the right? transfer. But he's joining Rowdy. They're playing Madagascar on Friday at 6 a.m. our time, and then Botswana on Monday, March 25th at 9 a.m. Eastern. I got to look and see if those are streamed, because I am on spring break next week.
Nice.
And the only thing I'm going to drag myself out of bed by 9 a.m. for is maybe to watch that. So he is out this weekend versus NCFC. In the press release about it, I didn't see the actual post from USL or anything about it, but he was picked for the bench on Team of the Week for USL.
Oh, didn't see that either. Nice. Good for him.
And then the other 2 things I had, Rowdies have announced partnership with Big Brothers Big Sisters of Tampa Bay. It's their first official community partner. They took some kids bowling this morning, and they have some other events coming up with them. Also, this weekend, if you are south of the Skyway or you just want to drive south to walk for a mile, the Rowdies are participating in the Walk to Defeat ALS this Saturday. It's at Payne Park in Sarasota, which is the whole walk is a mile. That park is less than a mile walk from Shamrock, which maybe will be open by that point, but I'm not sure. I think the check-in starts at 9 and the walk starts at 10. I know a lot of the Skyway casuals are planning on going out there. I tweeted that I am, but I also tweeted that I beat the game last weekend. I would like to. It's my plan goal. Doing it as a fundraiser, I don't know that I have the time to raise some funds, but I do get paid on Friday, so maybe I can chuck a little bit of money in.
There you go.
But I know some of the guys down here are going to go do that and join up with the team. I figure I got a mile in me. I got some new shoes for my birthday. I can
make it there you go.
If not, maybe Pete will be there and he can just carry me.
There you go. That'd be nice. Also, side shout out to Skyway Casuals, who have consistently done a great job at growing their brand and really getting out in the community and doing a lot of good things. I'm excited to see what they come up with this season. Last season, they had a couple cleanups, some other events that they hosted.
They 7 minutes away from picking up some trash.
Yeah, but look, I mean, I think those guys do a great job. I mean, to have them addition to the mob, I think they do a wonderful job of really doing something different and doing something positive with what they do. And you know, I like to say just real quick, because I don't know if I've ever said it before, but I just, those guys have done a great job of really building that thing and really turning into something really cool and a really good group, a really fun environment. So for any of you that have never gone out and actually hung out with those guys, they've got a great setup. They always cook us something for every home game. They're out there. They've got a cornhole set up and food and all kinds of good group of guys. Get out there, go introduce yourselves, go meet them. They've got a lot of stuff going on. And I'm sure they'd be happy to meet other Rowdies fans. So, just there you go. Go Casuals.
Nice. Definitely cool. I was mad. They did a tostada cheeseburgers, I think, for the tailgate. Usually try and do something that's sort of themed with the opposition. I don't know if there was a tie-in for that and San Antonio or what. I guess maybe there was, or they just said, hey, this sounds kind of cool, let's cook it. But yeah, definitely go out there. It's a blast. It's a great time. It's right there. If you happen to watch the Grand Prix of St. Pete the weekend before, because I know watched that. It's called the Turn 5 tailgate because literally when you watch the cars turn into what the Outlane parking lot is, and then there's a little swerve, that's right where the tailgate is. You can't miss it. The tents, flags, cornhole, all kinds of stuff going on there. Ben, I think we did it. And we're right at 45 minutes, too. We called it.
Dang, look at us, man. We're like seasoned veterans over here. Like, we did this, man.
We should do this on a regular basis.
Hey, by the way, I'd like to do – go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I'm gonna run out of here because my dinner's getting cold and I want to watch some of the open games tonight because I am a real sicko about that kind of stuff.
The last thing I was just going to add is to the Rebeller guys. Look, they did a great job in the offseason covering all things Rowdies. They had some great interviews. They got some great breakdowns. Breakdown for this game. I mean, go check those guys out. They have another good show up for you guys. Look, those guys do a great job over there. We love them. And I always look forward to hearing what their thoughts in the game. So, yeah, good job, Rebeller guys.
Yeah, let's give it up for them. All right. So we should be back next week, but as long as something else doesn't fall on my house or,
we're not going to speak that into existence.
No, well, hey, there's not much left that could happen. There's still some bees. The bee guy was supposed to come today, but the bee guy has already canceled like 6 or 7 times over the last few months. And I was told the bee guy was coming today, and I was in the back of my head like, yeah, that's probably not going to happen. And it didn't, so.
I don't know why, but that just reminded me of the Keanu Reeves, what was that, The Replacements? What was that movie? What are you afraid of? He goes, bees. Yeah, bees. Do you know?
Punch every bee in the face.
All right, I got nothing left on this one. Go eat your food. I'm going to go make something. I need to eat too.
All right, thank you guys for tuning in, and we will be back next week. Probably.
We'll be there.
We'll be back. Probably. All right, talk to you later, Ben. Good seeing you.
You too, man. Go Rowdies.
The Rowdies are kicking the grass.